Good to be here this morning. Had a nice, safe little drive down, and wasn't too much traffic, and nice rain. And as I was telling Brother Bruce, I was raised on a farm, and I like rain. What to say? More rain, more rest. Okay. But anyway, thank the Lord for that. Good to be here, and good to see all of you once again. And hope that you'll be in prayer for me, what time that I stand here. Because, the Spirit of the Lord is not with you. It's not preaching, okay? It's just a speech. So we pray that the Lord will be with us this morning. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, says, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." It starts out there, "and we know." See, there's a lot of things, that we know. A lot of things we don't know, but there's a lot of things that we know. We know that the sun comes up every morning, don't we? Yeah, I know for a fact that for almost 73 years, the sun has come up every morning. So, if I woke up in the morning and the sun didn't come up, I would be, I know it was something terribly wrong. But we know that, and there's a lot of other things that we know. And we know that the Bible is God's holy and inspired word. We know that. At least I feel like I know it, and I hope and trust that you know it too. That this is God's word from beginning to end. We may not understand everything that it says, but we know in our hearts that it's God's word, don't we? And we know that it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So as we say, we know that the Son of God is come. Well, as we think about this type of time of the year, there's a special emphasis upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, as we look into the Bible, you say, well, Jesus Christ is a central theme of this Bible, isn't he? And, as we look over in the Genesis chapter 1, say, well, where is the first place in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned? Well, unless I'm badly deceived within my own mind, I think it is in Genesis chapter 3, about verse 15. And we know that this is after the fall in the garden. The Lord made Adam and Eve, and he put them in that garden, and all they had to do was obey him, and life would have been good, wouldn't it? One thing that he told them not to do, they done it. And when they done it, they suffered severely for it, didn't they? They were cast out of the garden. And, the Lord told him, said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Well, now see, we know that when we close our eyes in death, we go back to the dust. We know that, don't we? The only way that won't happen is if Jesus Christ comes back again before we die. But there in verse 14, he said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent," said, "because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Well, see, that serpent, that sounds like a snake to me. Well, I don't like snakes. Those environmentalists and ecologists or whatever they are would not like me because I don't like snakes. I don't want them around me. I don't even like the looks of them. I like for them to catch rats and mice in my barn, but I don't want them close to me. If you ever see a snake by me, he's closer to me than I am to him. Because I don't care for him. I'll just be honest with you. But anyway, he says right here, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now the serpent is the devil here, isn't he? He's the devil. He's the one causes all the troubles up. You know, he's the one that you blame for all the bad things. Don't blame God, like we was talking about the brother up at Friendship Church, you know, that I had to go up there and preach, you know, the very week that happened. I think Elder Jeff came down here. But, you know, I was really troubled about what to preach, you know. But I know one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is always appropriate, isn't it? And so that church was, they were very emotional that morning. It's a very emotional thing. And so, you know, it's, but one thing that I did try to emphasize is don't blame God for it. You know, don't blame God. You know, if you want to blame something, blame somebody else, but don't blame God. Blame human error or the devil or, you know, Adam and Eve or whatever, but don't blame God. Because God is the only one that can help us when we're in trouble. But he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. You mean the devil has seed too? What it says, isn't it? That's what it says right here. Between thy seed and her seed. Said, it shall bruise thy head. Well, you see right there who won. You know, you take an old snake, if you want to kill a snake, you mash its head. You cut his tail off and he'll still bite you. But you see right here that the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. So in the final end, as the old guy says, I done snuck a look in the back of the book and I know who won. So anyway, it says, and thy seed, it said, it shall be enmity between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, what is that talking about? Have you ever bruised your heel? If you've ever bruised your heel, it's painful, isn't it? It affects the way that you walk, don't it? Hard to walk if your heel is bruised, isn't it? So anyway, you know, the devil can interfere with the way that we walk. All right, as we look right here, Adam and Eve, when they left the garden, you know, they were blessed to have two kids here, wasn't it? Maybe a lot more than that, but right here, I'm just going to what the Bible says here. It said, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Well, you know, she was wrong about that, wasn't she? She was wrong about it. The next few verses, tell them. What happened then? Said, and she bare again his brother Abel. Now Abel was of the Lord, wasn't he? And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And listen to this. It said, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, I just thought that God just loves everybody. You know, we hear that all the time. That just sounds so sweet, don't it? Well, here was a man right here that God did not even have respect for. Didn't respect him or his offering. That kind of disputes, you know, the theology of the world, don't it? Say, well, now old Cain was of that wicked one. You know how I know that? Because the Bible tells us over there that Cain was of that wicked one. And you know what Cain did? Cain got jealous of his brother. He not only got jealous of him, you know, if somebody gets jealous of somebody, you know, jealousy leads to hate, and hate usually leads to murder. We saw that in the case of Joseph, don't we? You know, Joseph's dad, Jacob, you know, he loved Rachel. That was the wife he loved was Rachel. And yet he had to marry Leah first. You know how the story goes. But anyway, Rachel was the one he loved. And Rachel had two kids. Had Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph was the apple of his dad's eye. His dad, boy, he favored Joseph so much, you know, that he was so partial to him, made him a little coat of colors. Coat of many colors. And when he did that, you know, that ought to be a lesson for every one of us. If you got more than one kid, if you love one more than another, don't show it. If you're a grandfather or a grandmother, and if you love one kid more than others, don't show it. Because the story is, in that story of Jacob and Joseph and that family, it'll trouble your own house. And they made them brothers jealous of Joseph. And you know what they did to him? Well, they conspired to kill him, didn't they? They didn't get him killed, though, did they? They put him in an old empty water cistern, and then they sold him into Egypt. And you know, that is jealousy and hate and then murder, isn't it? Well, Cain, you know, it said he was very wroth and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And sin lieth at the sea. It said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at that door. And you know the story, Cain was out one day and he killed his brother. Killed his brother. I mean, that's the awfulest thing I've ever heard. You know, but one of the points that we want to make up there, that Abel brought a blood offering, didn't he? All right, that points to something else, doesn't it? That means that there, you know, that it has to be a blood offering, you know, to satisfy sin. So let's just keep moving along. Say, well, you know, as we look forward, you know, in the book of Isaiah, now we're talking about Jesus Christ being the central theme of the whole Bible. In the book of Isaiah, here's something that was prophesied about 700 and something years before Christ ever came into the world, before he was ever born of the Virgin Mary. It says right here in Isaiah 7, verse 14, he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Notice it did not say a young woman. You know, a virgin can be a young, you know, I'll just put this is the King James Bible. It said a virgin, so that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it is, the virgin. Some of them will say a young woman. Okay, there's a lot of difference there. It said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that means God with us. So, well, a virgin is going to conceive. Well, in reality of life, once she conceives, she wouldn't be a virgin, would she? But she's still going to be a virgin after she conceives. You know, that's a miraculous thing, isn't it? Said, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. Well, as we look in the book of Isaiah, move on a little bit further, see all these things are taking place about 700 and something years before Christ was born. You know, we look back at over 200 years ago, about 200 years ago, and you know, we think about this country, you know, with 2019, you know, but anyway, we think back in the 1600s or something when this country was founded, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, I believe it is. But anyway, we look at that like it's a long time ago, don't we? I mean, we look at it like it's a long time ago. But look how long this was before Christ was ever born. He prophesied it, and he didn't live to see it come to pass, did he? But it says right here in Isaiah chapter 9, he says, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given." That tells you right there it's going to be a little boy, don't it? Said, "The government shall be upon his shoulders." He's going to be a governor. He's going to be a very important person. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Listen to what verse 7 says. And he says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." This morning we're sitting in part of his, we're sitting in his church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, the church might end. Everybody might, you know, 100 years from now, you know, probably the youngest baby in here probably won't be alive. And if that was the end of the church, you know, that wouldn't be the end of all of them, would it? It might just be the end of one body, but, you know, it won't be the end of the church. You know, the church is going to go on as long as this world goes on. And then after this world goes on, the church is going to be lifted. You know, all of the people that died in Christ is going to be in heaven, ain't it? So there'll be no end to this government, the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." In Isaiah 53, still 700 something years beforehand, listen to how detailed he's going to get about it. Listen to this story. Isaiah 53 says, "Who hath believed our report?" You know, who is going to believe it? You know, who is going to believe all this stuff about Jesus Christ? You know who's going to believe it? The ones that God gave to Christ. That's the ones that's going to believe it, ain't they? He says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" You know, this baby that's to be born is referred to as the arm of the Lord. Who is going to believe him? You know, God's children. You remember when the Lord said to Peter one time, he said, "Peter, whom do men say that I, the Son of God, am?" He said, "Well, some say that you're Elias, some Jeremiah, or John the Baptist, or one of the prophets." Some say, well, you know, some say it's not right all the time, is it? Some, you know, say, well, some say this, or some, you know, that could be anything, couldn't it? Just hearsay. Just noise, isn't it? He said, "But Peter, whom do you say that I am?" Well, that makes it different, you know. You know, you got to come up and say something, hadn't you? Well, I better just tell the truth. You know, when everything else fails, tell the truth. You know, Peter said, "Well, you know, thou art the Christ, the Son of God." You know what Christ said? He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know what the Lord said to that? He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church." He said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Upon what rock? Talking about himself for one thing, isn't he? And he's talking about the theology that God reveals himself to his children. Because flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him, did it? And this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it has been revealed to you by God himself. That's how we know about it. That's how we know that he's come, don't we? You know, it's been revealed to us. You know, God reveals things to his children, don't he? He says, "Who hath believed our report?" God's children believe it. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To God's children, the ones He gave to Christ. How many is going to be in heaven? Well, I'll tell you this morning exactly how many people is going to be in heaven. Everyone that was given, that the Lord gave to Jesus Christ, is going to be in heaven. Say, well, what about them poor ones He didn't give to them? Well, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. All the ones that He gave to Christ is going to be in heaven with Him. That's His children. He said, for He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant. Well, came as a little baby, didn't He? And as a root out of dry ground, He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. You know, I'm glad that y'all don't have a picture of that hippie in church. You know, I know a church right now, a little church, you know, they got a picture of a hippie in it. And you know, I don't know who hung it there, or, you know, I don't know who took the picture. You know, because, you know, I didn't know that there was any picture. I didn't know they even had cameras back in those days, you know. You know, the Bible tells us something right here. He said there's no beauty that we should desire Him. And also, Paul said over there that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So why would they have a picture of a man with flowing blonde hair? If it's a shame, if Paul said it's a shame for a man to have long hair, you know, I don't think he'd have been criticized of the Lord if the Lord had long hair, do you? You know, there's all kind of jokes told about Jesus and long hair and all this mess, but, you know, you got to go by what the Bible says, isn't it? The Bible said there's no beauty in Him, that when we see Him, that we won't desire Him. Look just like a regular, ordinary person, didn't He? Probably if you've seen Him in a crowd, you wouldn't even recognize Him. You remember when old Judas was going to reveal to him who He was? He didn't say the one with the long, flowing, blonde hair, did he? He had to go up and kiss Him. He went up and kissed Him on the cheek. He said, the one that I kiss will be the one that's the Christ. So that's the way He recognized, that's the way He identified Him with. He said, He is despised and rejected of men. He still is. He still is. There's people, you know, that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. There's people that hate people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. I know because I'm still barbering and I'm still working on people. I work on people every week, and some of them hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of them hate the Bible. Some of them hate people that go to church. That's one of the beauties of being out in the workforce. You know, you see the world, the world in the raw, don't you? See the world in the raw. You know, I know a lot of you work out in public like that. You know what kind of people are out there. Now there's some good ones. They're the people of God, though, aren't they? They're the people of God. He said, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. Said, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We're healed from what? Well, you know what happened in the garden over there? When they fell in the garden, we all fell with them, didn't we? Said, well, I don't like that. I had a fellow told me one time, he said, oh, that ain't got nothing to do with us. He just fell and that was just him and ain't got nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with us. When he fell, you fell with him. All of us. That sweet little precious beautiful children, they fell too, didn't they? Say, oh, they're just little angels. I love them. Oh, and they're so sweet. And you know, I've never seen so many beautiful, pretty little kids. I mean, I love them, you know. I love little children. You know, something wrong with people don't like children, ain't there? But anyway, you know, all those beautiful little children, you know, they have a depravity about them, isn't it? When Adam fell, they fell too. Everyone that comes into the world is fallen, has that little fallen nature about them. You know, that's why you have to teach them right and wrong. That's why it's good to bring them to church. That's why it's good to teach them you know, about God and teach them right from wrong. Because if you just turn them loose out here, they'll be like a wild Indian running around. But he says right here, he said, with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's talking about falling with us. And you know how I know that? Because Paul told us, didn't he? Over in the book of Romans in chapter 5, verse 12 there, he says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that all have sinned. And all of us come short of the glory of God, didn't we? He said, for that all have sinned, didn't we? So how did sin get in the world? With that old serpent over there, and with Adam and Eve, didn't it? When they disobeyed God, that brought sin into the world, didn't it? Sin and death and sickness and sorrow and all the other wicked things that take place. Said it, all right, let's just move on a bit. Said, and he made his grave with the wicked. Well, he's telling us here 700 years before it happened how this thing is going to happen. You know, when Christ was crucified, what was he crucified between two thieves with? Say, well, one of them was a good guy. Well, he was. But you know, when it first started, they were both reviling upon him, weren't they? But one of them, one of them had a change of heart with it. One of them was a good guy, wasn't he? And, that good guy, he went to heaven, didn't he? You know how I went to heaven? You know how I know he went to heaven? Because Christ told him he would, wouldn't he? Say, well, was he baptized? Well, I don't know whether he was or not. The Bible does not say whether he was baptized, does it? You know, I had a guy tell he was one of these people who believed you went to hell if you didn't get baptized, see? And I said, well, that thief on that cross wasn't baptized. He said, how you know he wasn't? Well, I don't know that he wasn't. You know, but the Bible don't say that he was or that he wasn't, was it? But anyway, we know that he went to heaven. And, then I had another fellow one time. He said, oh, no, that didn't go to heaven right then. When you die, your soul stays in the ground with the body. And, it don't come out until the resurrection morning. Well, you know what happened? He tried to change the comma there. You know what the Lord said to that, the one that, said told him that he was the Christ? He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, the old soul sleeper guy, he said that comma ain't supposed to be there. He said he's supposed to say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, comma. No, I said, verily, 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 I say unto thee today, comma. He wants to put the comma over there, say it like he's saying it today. Well, that wouldn't make any sense. Well, I'm telling you today, that wouldn't make no sense. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, comma, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And what happened? The Lord gave up the ghost. They gave up the ghost. He was in paradise with the Lord that day, wasn't he? That day. That tells me that as soon as we close our eyes in death, that our spirit goes back to God who gave it. Says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Well, Jesus was satisfied with what he done, wasn't he? As we get back over here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee. Now, you listen, have you ever thought that much about angels? You know, a lot of times there's a whole lot in the Bible about angels. This morning, early, I looked in the concordance. And sometimes get your concordance down and look up the word angel and angels. And see how many times it's in the Bible. It'd be shocking to you how many times angel and angels are spoken of in the Bible. And I just wrote down a few things right here about what angels do. Now see, first off, the angels, Christ was made a little lower than the angels because he came down as a man, didn't he? And see, the angels, we know that they're under God, that they work for God. But we also know the devil has angels too. Now that's a little scary right there, isn't it? But we know, see, the angels are under the power of God. And they worship Christ. The angels worship Christ. We saw that, when they told the shepherds out in the field, didn't it? You know, they were worshiping Christ, weren't they? It says they can appear and disappear. Well, that's kind of amazing within itself, isn't it? Have you ever seen one? Well, the Bible tells us to be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. If I've ever seen an angel, I don't know it. Now, we don't worship angels. And an angel, wouldn't accept your worship anyway. As you remember when Samson's mother and daddy, when the angel appeared unto them, they was going to try to do a burnt sacrifice to him. And they were going to worship him, and he wouldn't let them. He wouldn't even tell them his name. But we also saw that he disappeared in that flame of fire, didn't he? When they offered an offering to God. They can appear and they can disappear and they can talk. You remember when they talked to that old donkey that Balaam was riding? They talked to him. You know, that angel stood in the way and the donkey seen it, didn't he? I'm not using the word the Bible used because I'm trying to be nice this morning because of all the sweet little children around, okay? And I don't want to be taken the wrong way. But anyway, that donkey seen the angel, didn't he? And the man, and Balaam that was riding him didn't see him, did he? Until the angel got ready to. And when that donkey slammed him up against the wall and hurt his leg, and then he jumps up and he starts beating the donkey like he's going to kill him, and then the angel appeared to him, was standing there with a sword, didn't he? He said, if the angel hadn't threw you off, I would have killed you and the angel. I would have killed you. That's what the angel said, didn't he? But anyway, we see that they have the power to appear and disappear, and they can talk. They have magnificent power to destroy. And they have, and some appear white. You remember when Mary Magdalene, she thought the angel was a gardener, didn't she? And then when they went into the place where his body lay, they saw they were in white. So some appear in white. And some can fly. And they can travel in groups. Because the Lord, when he was on the cross, he said, I could pray to my Father and he could send me 12 legions of angels. That means 12,000 in it. That's a lot of angels, isn't it? And that we know the one disappeared in the flame. It said, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin that was promised to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. This don't say nothing about worshiping Mary, does it? Where do people get these things? You know, we don't pray to Mary, do we? Say, well, I wish you wouldn't talk that way because, I got a cousin that's a Catholic, and he gets offended by that. Well, big deal. I'm an old Baptist preacher and I preach, I preach the gospel to the best of my ability. And I tell you the truth, if they could come up here and prove to me that the Bible says you're supposed to pray to them, I would probably let them talk. Not in your pulpit, of course, but, But it said, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, how many times does the angel say, fear not? Almost every time they come present with somebody, they say, fear not. said, thou hast found favor with God. Said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Okay, we know it's going to be a little boy. We know that his name is going to be Jesus. And you remember when John the Baptist, when he was born, John the Baptist was a first cousin to Christ, wasn't he? You remember when Zacharias went into the temple, to burn incense, and he saw an angel, didn't he? And the angel told him something, and because he didn't believe what the angel said, the angel struck him dumb. And he wasn't able to say a word until John the Baptist was born. And then when the baby was born, some of them said, call him Zacharias after his father. And Zacharias said, no. And they gave him a pencil and a piece of writing paper, and he wrote, his name is John. When he wrote that down, he was able to talk. That's magnificent, isn't it? He said, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. We've already told you that. He said, of his kingdom there shall be no end. It said, the angel then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Well, all of you adults know exactly what that's talking about, and the little babies don't need to know. Said, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. There's another Holy Ghost there, isn't it? And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So, well, explain that to us. I'm not going to try to explain something like that. I don't know how to explain it. I've heard people, say all kind of things about that, but I'm not going to say nothing about it. I'm just say, read it yourself. Now, I know it was a miracle of God, wasn't it? A very miraculous thing. Well, let's just keep on going here. As we see in Matthew chapter 1. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ being the central theme of the Bible, isn't it? It said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise or this way. This is how it happened. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord. There's another angel, isn't it? You never thought about there being this many angel appearances in the Bible, did you? Said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Well, you ever heard people try to get you to sign a business deal? They're trying to sell you an insurance policy or some kind of something that's going to cost you a lot of money. A lot of times you've heard wise men say, well, let me sleep on it. And they say, no, you got to sign today. You got to sign today. Well, you better sleep on it today. Well, if you sign it today, you get a discount. No, I want to sleep on it. Why is that? Because, remember in the book of Job, where the Lord said, in slumberings upon the bed, in deep sleep, in daydreams, God sealeth man's instructions. Say, well, I don't know about them dreams. Well, the Bible says some dreams are very important, isn't it? Well, here was an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. He did what the angel told him, didn't he? His instruction was sealed right there, wasn't it? He said, David, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is a miracle taking place. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save everybody. Is that what it said? That's not what it said at all, is it? He didn't say he'd come to save everybody. You know, if they'd let him. If you'll just accept him. How many times do we hear that? I mean, how many of us has got sense enough to see an opportunity anyway? I would be rich if I had that kind of sense. I'm 72 years old. I don't have sense enough to even recognize a good opportunity. And most people don't. That's why 90% of the people work for the other 10%. So about 10% of the people, you know, they've got the wisdom enough to where they can see opportunities. Most of us can't. If you say, well, he came to give you an opportunity if you will just accept him. Well, I wouldn't have had sense enough to do that anyway, would you? But he says, this is his mission. And he shall save his people from their sins. Now, the question is, did he do it? Old Baptists tell you that he did. I tell you this morning that he did. I have no reason to doubt that he did, that he didn't save his people from their sins. Let's just keep on going here. As we see right here in Luke chapter 2, and this can be a real long story, and I won't run it all out. I could probably be up here another hour, but I don't want to hold you that long. You know, the longest I've ever preached is about an hour and 15 minutes. And, you know, the reason I did that, I was preaching up a friendship with Brother Jeff at Friendship Church, and I got mixed up on the time, see. And so I did go an hour and 15 minutes, and that's too long to be hold people that, you know. But anyway, some of them said they enjoyed it, you know, but some of them probably didn't, you know. But anyway, in Luke chapter 2, there's a lot of stuff here. But in Luke chapter 2, it said, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph and Mary, his espoused wife, or promised in marriage to him, they had to go up to pay taxes, didn't they? And while they got up there, you know, guess what happened? The baby came. All of you that we have these little babies, you know, they come at the most unexpected times, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night. I remember when Lori was born, you know, we had to leave about 10 o'clock at night, and I'm flying down I-24 trying to get to Baptist Hospital. You know, we get down there about 10:30 that night. She wasn't born until about almost 4 o'clock the next morning. See, you know, these little babies are something else, buddy. You know, they come in their own time, don't they? But anyway, they go up there to pay their taxes, and guess what happens? The baby comes. And guess what else happened? They couldn't find the motel room, could they? There was no empty hotel rooms. Say, well, you know, as important as he was, you know, looked like they could have went up there and twisted a few arms and got him a room. Didn't work that way, did it? You know, they were poor people, weren't they? You know, he was a carpenter. He wasn't a man about town that everybody knew. He was a carpenter. I don't know how much money carpenters make. You know, they're not in the Fortune magazine. You know, as the money makers, I wouldn't think. But anyway, they get up there, and the baby is born. You know where it was born? It was born in a barn, wasn't it? Born in a stable, wasn't it? They laid him in a feed trough. So, well, the Bible don't say it was a feed trough. It says it was a manger. That was a feed trough, wasn't it? And they were in a barn. They were in a shelter there, wasn't it? Said, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. Said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. That makes you think that the time might be wrong about this. You ever thought about that? Would the shepherd be sleeping out at night right now? Say, well, that's over in Jerusalem. Well, if you look at on the grid of the earth, we're about on the same grid they are. They tell me that their weather is about like ours at this time of year. Would they be sleeping out in the field? It looks like the grass is about gone to me. So, you know, I don't know. You know, the Bible, you know, it didn't nail this down to a time, did it? Say, well, you know, that's the time that we set aside the, you know, to honor his birthday. Well, that's all right. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we should honor his birthday, I suppose, you know. At least it can be a good thing or it can be bad, depending on how you do it. It said, and lo, the angel of the Lord. There's an angel again. You ever thought about them angels? It said, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. They always say, fear not, don't they? Be not afraid. You don't have to be. In Christ, you don't have to be afraid, do you? But nothing or nobody. Remember there in the Psalm, you know, the 23rd Psalm, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because thou art with me. Do you know that you and God, you know, is a majority in it? Regardless of what comes upon us, you know, you and God are a majority. There's an old boy used to work at the shop. He came in yesterday, day before yesterday. He's a young guy, and he just discovered that he has cancer. Colon cancer in his liver. You know, that'll get your attention on it. That'll get your attention. See, we don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. We don't know what's going to happen to any of us. We don't know. Got to church last Sunday, and we was talking about the little baby at the friendship, the tragedy. And he said, this morning there was a friend of mine that got killed in a car wreck. See, we don't know what the future holds, do we? But we know that we don't have to be afraid, do we? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me. And you know the rest of it. But we don't have to be afraid, you know, with God being with us. Said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. That was angels, wasn't it? That was angels. Now don't go home and tell nobody. Now Brother Frank, he said we're supposed to worship angels. No, we don't worship angels. Don't get that idea at all. But I'm just telling you, you know, sometimes if you never thought that much about angels, you know, there's a lot of angels mentioned in the Bible, isn't it? Said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. As you see it later on, you know that there was a wise man come. And all your nativity scenes, you know, they'll have the wise men, they have three of them. Say, well, how'd they get three? Well, maybe they thought that the three gifts. You know, they brought the gold, and this time they didn't come to the barn. They didn't come to where the baby was. This was a while later because it said in the young child. They came to the house where the young child was. So the nativity scene has the baby in the manger. See, that's wrong, isn't it? According to the Bible, it's wrong, isn't it? But anyway, they came to the house and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Say, well, what is, we all know what gold is, don't we? Gold has always been valuable. I guess it always will be valuable. You know, they want you to take your money and invest it in gold, even now, don't they? It's always been a valuable metal. And it says frankincense. What is that? Well, that's kind of like a perfume, something that smells good, isn't it? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What is myrrh? Well, myrrh is medicine, isn't it? Well, that's three pretty important things, I suppose, you know, to bring as a gift. Maybe that's where all the gift giving come from. You reckon? From in the Bible there. But as we look here and we see in John chapter 3, verse 16, we said, "For God so loved the world." Was that everybody in the world? No. God so loved the world of His elect family that He loved you before the foundation of the world, and that He chose you, and He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Christ. And all that He loved before the foundation of the world, and all that He chose, and all that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ are the ones that He gave to Christ. And that's all those ones will be in heaven. Say, well, how do I know that? Well, this morning, if you believe in Christ, that's evidence that you're one of His. You know, if you like to hear the preaching of the gospel, you know, that's evidence that you're one of His. If you love to hear those good old hymns, you know, praising God, you know, that's evidence that you're one of His, isn't it? If you love good things and good people, you know, that's evidence that you're one of His, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's a little scary there. If for some reason you don't believe, you know, that's a little scary, isn't it? Well, how can you believe anyway? He borns you again of His Spirit, don't He? He borns you again of His Spirit. How does that happen? Well, the Bible refers to it, compares it to the wind blowing. It said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And that means born of God or born from above. If you look in your center column of your Bible, it'll say born from above. That don't mean that you did anything for it. You didn't do nothing. These babies, they didn't do nothing to get born naturally, did they? Nobody does anything to get born spiritually, do you? You're just a subject of it, isn't it? Heard a man say, "Boy," said, "that guy, he's living an ungodly life." Said he needs to go down and join that church and get himself born again. That don't happen, does it? You can't born yourself again no more than a baby can born themselves. Said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." This morning, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. It belongs to you. It says right there in John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life." That means that word "hath" is in the past tense, isn't it? That means it's yours. It's waiting for you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I wonder how many people, you know, they go through life and they're worried to death or they're going to go to hell. I talk to people all the time. You know, they're worried to death. One time this little man was about, he was almost 90 years old, and he come walking in to get a haircut one day, and he said, "I sure hope I make it." Talking about heaven. I'm thinking, if it was left up to you, you won't make it. It has to be done by Christ, doesn't it? Said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Say, well, now that we know all this stuff, Jesus Christ is a central theme of the Bible, and He's the one that we come to church to worship, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the one that we want to follow His commandments. And, you know, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Say, well, now that I know all this stuff, I'm not going to worry about nothing. I think I'll just go back and I just kick back in my recliner and just do what I want to do and don't worry about a thing. You know, one time there was an old man said, if I believed, you know what you old Baptists believe, I'd just drink all the whiskey I wanted. Well, you better not do that. You're going to get drunk and you probably get in the car and kill yourself, or you're going to waste all your money. You know, it's going to be down the drain. See, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It always comes back, doesn't it? It always comes back. Whether it's good or whether it's evil. That's why we better do good, ain't we? We better be good. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You know, there's a girl out at the shop. And, you know, I guess I shouldn't talk about the people I work with. But, you know, if you work with people, you'd learn a lot about them, don't you? And some people, you know, you can watch them and learn kind of what to do. Some of them, you can watch them and learn what not to do. There's a girl that works out there. And my wife and I, when we had our shop down there, we hired that girl when she was 17 or 19, or something like 19 years old, just a young girl. And, you know, all of these years, that's probably been 20, 30 years, isn't it? Yeah, she has probably 30 years more. You know, her life is a mess. I mean, it's a mess. She don't go to church, and I'm sure she don't know anything about the Bible. She's got two kids by two different men. She gets evicted out of one apartment and gets another and gets evicted out of that. She always picks her boyfriends that are jailbirds. They have tattoos all over them. You know what? The girl is probably, she's probably pushing 50 maybe. And her little, she's got a 12-year-old daughter. Two daughters by two different men. They were married to neither one of them. The little 12-year-old daughter cut her wrist the other day. Tried to kill herself. But if you live in a mess like that, you know, where you don't know whether you're going to be on the street or you don't know whether you're going to have anything to eat. I mean, that's not God's way, is it? I mean, you got little children. You love those little children. You know, you work and take care of those babies. You know, God gave them to you. You know, I can't imagine anybody. You know, when my daughter was born, I mean, I loved my mother more than any woman on the face of the earth. And, you know, and I met this little old blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, and I just fell so in love with her, and I loved her more than any woman on the face of the earth. But I didn't love my mother a bit less. I loved my mother more. And then God blessed us, you know, to have a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby. And oh boy, I'm telling you, you know, those babies, I mean, they get right to your heart right there, you know. And I went to work the next day after she was born. And boy, I was book solid all day. And everybody that come in, I said, I got a new 8-pound, 4-ounce baby girl. And I mean, I love that baby more than any person on the face of the earth. But I didn't love my wife any less. I thought, this baby, if I have to get a part-time job and work night and day in order to give this baby the things that it needs, you know, I'll do it. I'll do it. And, you know, that's just love, isn't it? That's love, isn't it? And, you know, you think, well, that's a lot of love. Well, you know, God loves us more than that, don't we? We can't even love one another as much as God loves us to. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? But anyway, let us think about those things and think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's the central theme of the Bible, and he's the one that we come to church to worship every Sunday morning, and he's the most important thing in our life. Say, well, but I love my kids. Well, you know, you love your kids more than anything else, but you better love the Lord Jesus Christ more. Because He's the one that blesses you to have all these little wonderful things.